Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 1 of The Sandler Files. Today, me and my co-host are going to give our thoughts on Adam Sandler's latest production, 2020's Hubie Halloween. Please enjoy. Please.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Was Uncle V vanilla ice this whole time?
You want a piece of me?
This is me. This is how I win.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome to the first episode of the Sandler Files. I'm Jeremy Conte.
And I'm Max Dreesen.
And today we are going to be talking about an Adam Sandler film, because that's what we do here.
We only watch Adam Sandler movies here.
Yeah.
That's our podcast.
The idea behind the Sandler Files is that we watch every Adam Sandler movie because we are Sandler Files.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's not a great idea, honestly, for our mental health, but that's okay.
This sucks, man.
This one was not that bad.
This wasn't terrible.
No. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Hubie Halloween.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with Hubie Halloween, it is the sixth co-production between Adam Sandler and Netflix, and the latest one. It came out, a week ago?
That's right. And this is the start of his second...
This is the second
group of movies. Right?
This is the second movie in his second movie deal.
Oh, because Murder Mystery
was okay, the first. Yeah, so he had four. He produced four movies with Netflix. He had a deal for that, and then they extended it to 8.
Yeah.
And the extension for the second four was $250 million just to get the extension, the production rights.
Yeah, these are some of the most successful movies on Netflix too.
This one apparently has broken the record for the most time in the top 10 of Netflix for an original movie, which Murder Mystery did that before this one.
Oh, great.
So each one's breaking new records. So they're not going to stop.
They're going to give more and more money, and it'll be interesting.
I like that this second round has been genre films though. Not
that's
really.
True. That's true.
But a murder mystery.
They've both been mysteries.
Oh, I guess this was kind of... I liked the Halloween aesthetic. There's not a lot of Halloween movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this one wasn't too bad in comparison to a lot of other Sandler stuff, I'd say. Especially the recent stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going somewhere interesting, and then it wasn't. But, you know. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't a slog.
Outside of, the last 15 minutes, I'd say it was, the best one since he got the Netflix deal.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the ones I've seen.
Yeah, because all of the other ones are just terrible.
Yeah. But it was overall enjoyable. We are going to spoil it a little bit if you haven't seen it.
Yes,
but
spoilers.
It's a comedy movie, so I promise spoilers do not matter that much, especially for this movie. You're not really watching it. We're not really going to spoil a lot of gags. We're just going to spoil the plot, which isn't really that important or really good in the end, it turns out.
No.
Do you just want to jump into it?
Okay, yeah.
Should we add a little music?
Yeah, put a little cue.
Okay, we're going to put a little... Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba.
There
but,
you
go. Make it
Halloween. We'll just use that.
No. Please don't.
Okay.
If
Fine.
You sample that. So, the movie opens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this is kind of a cool moment right off the bat. It opens in an insane asylum, and... Ben Stiller plays an orderly in the insane asylum, and he's reprising a role he had in Billy Madison, which is kind of interesting, and I liked. I don't know.
Yeah, those are
It was connecting the two movies.
It's one of the few only well-regarded Sandler films.
Yeah.
Critically well-regarded.
The comedy ones,
yeah,
for sure.
Comedy.
It was an interesting moment.
He's got a returning character there, and there's another... sort of returning reference that I will get into later that I found out.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a little...
So basically, the movie starts and everyone hates Hubie, who's the main character. Hubie Dubois is Adam Sandler's character.
Pretty much everyone in the town are bullies. It's a town of bullies and they all hate Hubie.
Yeah.
Because he wants people to stay safe on Halloween.
Yeah, well,
that's the only reason.
It takes place in Salem, which is where the witch
trials
were. And they're oh, our town is the best Halloween town in the U.S. And Hubie likes to make sure everyone's safe. And so they all bully him. Even the kids just throw stuff at him.
Yeah.
And we established really quickly he has a crush on the mom from Modern Family, Julie Bowen. His character's named something Valentine. Valerie,
right.
I want to say. Yeah. Oh, Violet. My bad. Violet.
Violet Valentine.
Violet Valentine. And he works at a butcher at a grocery store and lives with his mom. And, the thing that struck me when the movie started about Hubie was the voice he puts on for the character. He loves Adam loves his voices, and this one was like easily top five worst Adam Sandler character voices.
It's bad. It's bad. It would, like, he does voices that would be funny for like a few minutes.
Yeah.
But then his character has this voice for like a 2-hour production almost.
And you're supposed to like see the character go through like emotional growth, and they just sound like an idiot. And this one's like really bad.
Yeah.
It's like almost, it's like Lil Nicky, like
it is
Sandy,
it's like
Wexler tier, where it's just like, it's grating. Like, you don't want to listen to it for very long. But that was like a real big knock against the movie right off the bat for me, and I still enjoyed parts of the first hour, so honestly, kudos to the movie for that.
You can kind of get over it. Like, you learn to ignore it, but it's really always bad. There. It's no matter really what you bad. Do.
Yeah. If you ever focus on it, it's just like, oh, God. And so then we also find out there's a lot of setup in the first act of this movie, which I was also impressed by, because I've never witnessed that before.
Normally it takes like an hour to introduce all the characters.
Yeah.
Like the movie Sandy Wexler did that.
Yeah.
It really quickly, just right off the bat, introduces all the major players.
Yeah, you find out a lot in the first act, and normally in an Adam Sandler production, it would be like the second act, you're introducing main characters still.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to Kevin James, who's the town sheriff, and he has this history with this like escaped patient from a mental asylum, which we were introduced to in the first scene, and he hears that he's escaped and he's like, oh no, that's bad news for me, and he gets kind of freaked out about that. And then we just get kind of like introduced to the whole ensemble cast, and this is an insane cast. Like, this is one of the best.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's clear, you can see the budget that Netflix is giving him.
Yeah, Ray Liotta is in this from Goodfellas, which I loved. Yeah. Steve Buscemi shows up at the beginning. The kid from Jesse and Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Karan Brar, is in it.
Yeah.
So basically, we learn through meeting these characters, Hubie loves Halloween, everybody hates him. Steve Buscemi has just moved in next door, and there's some weird thing going on. They're clearly trying to imply
he specifically says, like, when you hear a ruckus at my house at night, don't check it out. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah, so it's, like, very obviously we're foreshadowing something going on with him.
Yeah.
We meet Hubie's mom, who's like, oh, I love you so much. You're so special. Oops, I knocked my mic.
Oh, my God.
We meet Hubie's mom, who's like, oh, my God, I love you. You're so special. And the kids are so mean to you. I don't know why. And then we also get introduced to Hubie's thermos.
Yes. Now, Hubie has this orange thermos that he straps to his belt, and he has on him the whole film, and it has an incredible amount of use. Like, it's like a multi-tool. Impossible multi-tool.
Almost. Like, literally Batman's belt level.
Yeah, it's like just, you'd expect, like, it's like a superhero tool, absolutely.
It defies the laws of physics
completely. We'll get into some of those as the plot goes on, but they keep introducing, like, new tools that are built into this thermos, and that's,
I loved it. Every time there's a new one, it was, yeah, that was a good bit. So Violet, his love interest, and Hubie bond a little bit more. We meet her kids. One of them is Noah Schnapp from Stranger Things, who plays Will Byers, if you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, there's two others who I think are her foster kids. They like talk about it, but they don't really ever explain it.
Yeah, I don't even understand why that's in the movie, but
no, but the two foster daughters are played by Adam Sandler's real life daughters.
Yes.
Which we noticed very fast.
He has been putting them in more and more of his movies. And I think they have the most screen time.
Anything
they've done before. Normally
they
like
just cameo. Yeah, but they have a lot of lines. And I'm all for that. I think that's really sweet. Like, yeah. Put your kids in your movie, man. Go for it. So Violet tells Hubie that he's talking about Steve Buscemi's character who just moved in next door to him. She's like, oh, he's got this, like, he's got the same name as this tombstone at the cemetery, which, why she knows the name of random tombstones at the cemetery.
She just said cemetery. It's like, it's a tombstone next to my dad, and it's really weird. You'll understand why when you go there. And then immediately, Hubie goes to the graveyard.
Well, he loves a mystery.
Why couldn't she just tell him?
I don't know. There's some weird stuff with her.
Yeah.
But he goes, it's Ray Liotta's dad's funeral, and he interrupts by using his thermos as a digging tool.
Yeah.
In the grave next to where Ray Liotta's dad is being married, or buried, sorry, not yeah. married.
No.
And I don't know, it's such a weird scene, because he's just, like, digging, and the dirt is flying into Ray Liotta's grieving face.
And there's the priest as well?
Yeah.
The father again?
And everyone's like, Hubie, can you please leave? And, like, we're supposed to, like, root for Hubie because everyone there is a jerk to him, but it's also like, it's a funeral.
He's being very, very disrespectful.
Like, the priest is like, can you leave? And he's like, yeah. Why? And
the priest is like, speeding up the speech he's doing too. He's wrapping up quick.
Yeah, and the priest is like, I need you to leave because this is a funeral. And he goes, on Halloween? As if, like, people can't be buried on Halloween. Yeah. Like, it's this sacred holiday. Anyways, Ray Liotta ends up pushing him into the casket or something, which is, you know, honestly kind of deserved, although I wouldn't push him onto my dad, but...
No.
Well, you know...
And then some guy starts burying him in there?
Yeah, he almost gets buried alive, but he escapes. So, it's, you know, whatever. That scene happens, and it establishes that Ray Liotta and him aren't friends. So then we go to Halloween night, and Hubie starts to, like, make the rounds to make sure the town is safe, because this is what he likes to do in his free time. And he hears about some spooky stuff going on at his neighbor's house, Steve Buscemi, whose name is Mr. Lambert, and he heads over to check it out, and he discovers that, like, they make it seem like Steve Buscemi is a werewolf, which they kind of foreshadowed earlier.
He's boarded up his windows and everything, and he's screaming in there.
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, handprints on the walls, and he's, like, kind of furry. And Max pointed out to me while we were watching that this seems to be a reprisal of sorts for Steve Buscemi.
Because in another Adam Sandler comedy film, Adam Sandler fronted comedy film, Hotel Transylvania, the animated film, Steve Buscemi plays a werewolf in that movie. And there is a shot in Steve Buscemi's basement in this film where he's next to a baby carriage, which he has in... Hotel Transylvania.
I don't know how you notice these details, man.
Because he's got a bunch of little baby werewolf pups that are constantly and sick of it.
I've only seen the first one of those when I was really young. But yeah, we'll get around to it. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Any movie we make reference to, we'll get there because this is the first one we're watching.
It's a big puzzle that we're gonna piece together. Yeah.
So he contacts the police about this seeming werewolf sighting, and they're like, oh my god, this guy again, because he's like the boy who cried wolf, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin James, the sheriff, like, tells him, oh, you're gonna be our secret detective, but no one can know that you're part of the police force, basically getting him out of his hair for the night. And so he continues to roam around the town. He runs into Noah Schnapp at this party where he snuck out to be a teen and party. And Hubie basically shuts the whole thing down. He's like, kids can't party in my town.
Yeah,
once
he's
again.
Drinks out and stuff.
Like, why?
I guess it's demonstrating why everyone hates him.
But, like, I remember watching the movie. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is justified. But now thinking back on it, I'm like, they were just kids, like, having a party. And they were, like, in the middle of
a
cornfield.
He's a snitch.
They were in a barn somewhere. Like, they weren't bothering anyone.
Yeah, no.
It was really weird. So the kids hatch a plot to get rid of him. So they tell him to go into this corn maze behind the barn that they're partying in.
Yeah.
And Karan Brar, I forget, his name's Mike, I think, in this movie?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't care enough to remember.
He's the kid from Jesse and Diary of a Wimpy Kid. He played Chirag Gupta. His name is Mike in this movie, I think. He goes into the corn maze to scare Hubie, because Hubie's, like, super easily scared.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting abducted by the escaped mental patient who has now arrived in town.
No.
That's not what we're led to believe. Okay.
Because, look, you see him getting kidnapped from a point of view perspective of a character with, like, pumpkin jack-o'-lantern eyes.
Yeah, and at this point, the mental patient's wearing a pig mask,
He puts on a pig mask, which has circular, far-apart eyes.
Okay.
All right, so, I don't know, you thought it was the mental patient, but, you know, someone with a keen eye.
Yeah.
You know, true Kino eye for cinema will realize that these are separate characters they're setting up.
I clearly did not pay close enough attention to this movie, because I was just like, oh, this is a production error. Like, when it was the jack-o'-lantern eyes, I was like, oh, it's probably the same mask.
It's confusing. They don't separate them at all, really.
Well, I think you're supposed to think it's the pig mask escape mental patient, because you see the mental patient put on, like, a pig mask at one point before, and you never see their face. But, I don't know. I just assumed, like, that they just did that for aesthetic reasons or something. I didn't think it was different characters.
Yeah, well, they never introduced this, like, jack-o'-lantern thing at all. It's just suddenly there's a new
abductor.
Yeah.
A new scary person in town.
Out of three now.
Yeah. I mean, Max picked up on it. I didn't. Max is clearly more of a cinema god than me. Yep. And that's, I have to live with that. And that's okay. So, Karan Brar gets abducted from the pumpkin patch, and Hubie witnesses it. And then he investigates kind of that missing person. He finds, like, a stub for, like, the drive-in. And he goes on this whole quest to try to find what happened to the kid. And he ends up running into Steve Buscemi again in a pumpkin patch. Don't ask me how he got there. It's a long story, and I don't want to do a beat-for-beat breakdown of this movie.
He goes to the drive-in, then he runs into the forest behind the drive-in.
Okay, I guess it was pretty simple.
There's a lot of stuff that happens at the drive-in that does not matter.
So he runs into Steve Buscemi, looks more like a werewolf now, and like runs away from him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh boy, that's a situation. And at the same time, the foster daughters, Adam Sandler's real-life daughters, have left their house to find Noah Schnapp because they're like, oh, he was supposed to be babysitting us. And he's like, not babysitting us. He went to a party.
It's stupid.
It makes no sense.
That's a really stupid thing because they're in the house and they're like,
let's leave.
Well, they say, where's our brother? And they go, oh, he's in love.
Yeah, he's at a party. Yeah.
Yeah, he's at a party. They know where he is.
And then they're like, let's find him.
It's so... just the next scene. Yeah. I feel like that's an error in the script or something, honestly.
They run into the pig mask person and you're like, oh, and then the scene ends, so you don't know what happens to them, but it's implied they're in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
More hijinks happen. Hubie ends up at a haunted house. He chases this dog through it. This was actually my favorite moment of the movie, was when I was like, oh, Hubie's actually a good guy, which is rare for an Adam Sandler character. They're all kind of self-obsessed.
Yeah.
But Hubie believes that a werewolf is attacking the haunted house. And even though he's the biggest scaredy cat of all time, he runs into the haunted house.
What a brave man.
I'm just saying, I don't think many Adam Sandler characters would do that for other people.
No, this is a very selfless character. Yeah. The other ones are like really snarky. And
I think that makes it more watchable. Just like he's not, you know, a jerk. He's a decent guy.
So. This is a better Adam Sandler character here, minus the voice.
The voice, dude. I could not handle the voice. So he runs in, he witnesses Ray Liotta get abducted as well, yeah. And we're like, oh boy, what's going on? So now it's like an abduction frenzy. They close down Halloween in the town because people are starting to believe Hubie because people are actually going missing, and the sheriff is like, well, what's going on? It must be that escaped mental patient. And as soon as that is introduced, he gets a call from one of his deputies at the sheriff's office, and it's like, oh, by the way, we found the mental patient. And he was just, like, here to take back Steve Buscemi to the mental asylum because they were roommates.
They were both crazy. Steve Buscemi's not a werewolf. He was pretending.
Because he thinks he's a werewolf. And the other guy is Rob Schneider.
Let's introduce
Rob Schneider. Can we talk about Rob Schneider a little bit?
He was a terrible person, actually, in real life.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. Because,
okay, go for him.
Oh, my God, I hate Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider appears in so many Adam Sandler movies, and he's just, like, he's a bad person, just he's genuinely.
Actually, yeah, if you pay attention to what he says, like, publicly.
Oh, my God.
He's the worst stances on...
I follow that man on Twitter, and it actually, like, hurts my brain. Today, he was... I can't even talk about it. I don't want to get too into politics.
Everyone who, like, Adam Sandler, Kevin James, David Spade, they all seem
Chris
like...
Chris Rock, they all Chris seem like Rock, nice yeah. guys.
They're all lovely people, it seems like. They have a great... public persona.
Yeah.
Like, they all seem like almost like dads kind exactly. of like this loving they make these silly movies that aren't trying to be anything super special really.
Yeah. And then you got Rob Schneider ranting on Twitter. He's like, don't wear a mask. Masks are like silencing the people. Don't get vaccinated. All this like conspiracy stuff that he's just spreading.
Yeah, he's a conspiracy nut.
It hurts my brain. And in every photo of the five of them together, anytime Rob Schneider's there, they just look like they're in pain. Like, yeah. I have to believe, I don't know, he must have like dirt on them or something. Like, how does he keep getting into these movies?
It doesn't make sense to me how they're friends with him.
I do not. Rob Schneider's like one of my least favorite people. Today he tweeted some stuff about Biden that made it clear where his political stances lie. I'm not going to push my political opinions onto anyone, but it was he's pretty stupid.
He's pretty selfish, it seems. He's very self-centered.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm rich and feel bad for me.
That's basically his Netflix show, Real Rob.
We're not going to talk about Real Rob yet. Real Rob, when we reach the episode where we watch Real Rob, you will witness me descend into madness.
That's going to be terrible.
I hate him so much, Max.
No, he's so bad.
Thankfully, right. He's not in this movie much.
No.
He just pees
he's
on himself.
He's pretty much a little cameo.
Yeah, he like pees on himself and then he leaves. That's his whole bit. So then, now that we know that the mental patient in the pig mask, who's Rob Schneider, and Steve Buscemi, the werewolf man, aren't actually abducting anyone.
It's such a letdown, first of all. Because I thought it was kind of cool that they had like a werewolf guy and they had all these like kind of villains.
Like horror movie tropes almost.
And then just in this one scene, it's like, oh yeah, they're just both insane. They don't mean any trouble or anything.
Yeah, it removes all dramatic tension from the movie.
And this is going into the third act.
Yeah, this is the third act has like like, basically they'll introduce, oh, this could be the real situation. And then, it, like, they just take the wind out of the sails of that theory. And then by the time you actually get to, like, the reveal of who's been abducting people, you just don't care anymore.
It's like nothing's been building up at that point.
Exactly.
Those are the characters they were building up, and they just drop them. And then it's...
So, what happens after... We're getting a little ahead of ourselves, I'm sorry. But what happens... Mm-hmm. This is when the movie got frustrating for us, and we really... It went off the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens after they get rid of Rob Schneider and Steve Buscemi is... Adam Sandler goes to a radio station that he's been listening to the whole movie for some reason. And the radio station's, like, Halloween-themed. He yeah. goes there for some reason. He runs into Shaq, who's the radio announcer, which I loved.
Yeah. That, classic. I always loved to see Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal cameo. And then, for some reason, someone else has been calling the radio station almost as much as Hubie. And they just decide that person has to be the abductor.
It's because everyone that... The people who are getting abducted are people... who don't like Hubie.
Yeah, who right? bullied him in the movie. Yeah, Karan Brar and Ray Liotta.
Pretty much all the characters come to a conclusion, okay, well, it's not Hubie who's abducting these people. It's somebody who cares about Hubie.
But it's just like... Oh, it's raining. Sorry. It's just like such a terrible... Like, terribly explained...
No, like, it's a dumb conclusion to come to. Like, nobody would reasonably get to that.
I was so lost. And then they start to suspect Violet... Julie Bowen from Modern Family.
Because she is, like, the only person in the town who
is nice to him. Yeah. It was so bizarre to me that they were just like, oh, it's gotta be her. Like, it just, like, came out of nowhere. And they set up this sting operation to get her. And then it turns out it's not her. She's just like, oh, I love you. And he's like, oh, I love you too. And then they're like, oh, we traced the phone call. It wasn't her phone. And it's like,
no, it's coming from Hubie's house.
It's coming from inside the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's coming from Hubie's house. So then it's like, oh boy, what's going on there?
The worst finale to a movie ever.
They built up a lot of... I didn't realize how much positive momentum they built up with me until this final twist. And I was like, oh, yeah, you had something going
here.
It's
such a letdown, really.
Yeah, the abductor is Hubie's mom, who's mad that everyone's been bullying him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has abducted the most prominent bullies, and she plans to burn them at the stake in some kind of homage to the Salem witch trials of the town.
Like, they're on those, like, witch...
Stakes.
Burning stakes.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like, when it happened, I think we both, like, groaned, because we were just like, this is it, really?
This is boring, yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
Like, there was no setup, really, for it. It's just kind of happened. Anyways.
And then the way the scene plays out, too, is really weird.
Oh, yeah, because he has, like, 15 opportunities to stop her because she is an old woman.
Yeah, it's an old... She walks up with a match and she's like, I'm going to burn them all because Hubie's so nice to all of you and you all disrespect him.
And he does nothing. And then at the last possible second, he throws soup on the match and extinguishes it.
Yeah. And then... also, there's a TV crew there.
Oh, right.
They approach and they go, we're showing some real Halloween horror, and it's just an actual, like, crime scene.
Yeah, it's actual people.
Like, she's going to burn these people alive.
And they're like, oh, no. Halloween spooks here in Salem.
And then Modern Family Claire is sitting
at home showing her kids.
With all of her kids watching this live.
Yeah. And so they don't end up getting burned, obviously. Also, that news anchor is his wife.
Yep.
So his wife and kids cameo in the movie. His real life wife. But... They don't end up getting burned, obviously. And then they all have terrible monologues about how they were secretly jealous of Hubie. And then the mom gets arrested.
No, the mom leaves.
She runs away?
Yeah, she goes Frankenstein.
Oh, she does the Frankenstein. Okay, that's a dumb bit. It's not important. Stupid, but she basically gets away from the cops by being like, oh, gotcha. And runs away. And then, you know, Hubie, we cut to a year later after Hubie finally gained the respect of everyone. He's with Julie Bowen now. They're dating. Or married. I don't know. He's mayor of the town for some reason.
I guess they are married.
Oh, they are.
Will Byers calls him his dad.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. It Imagine having me. To call Hubie Hubert Scoobert Dubois your dad. So he's also mayor of the town, even though he's a bumbling idiot. And like definitely going to run the town into the ground. He doesn't like Halloween, which is like their main export.
He could be like safety advisor.
Yeah,
something.
Remember when the mayor was like 85% of our tourism money comes from Halloween night?
It's like how the town stays afloat.
And he would ruin Halloween.
Yeah.
So what? Why? Anyways, that seems like a poor choice on the part of that municipality. And I just think they probably should have put more thought
also,
into their
votes. Just all characters just love him now.
Yeah, everyone's like oh,
kids,
you're the best.
Their kids who are bullying him early in the movie are just like, you're the man, Hubie.
Yeah, they also haven't grown in a year, even though they're like 12, which is kind of unlikely. Anyways, then the movie ends. That's it. So it kind of ends with a whimper, even though it started out really strong with all these genre conceits and the idea that there might be a werewolf and an escaped psycho killer.
I don't understand why we couldn't have had actual supernatural elements.
I think it would have made the movie a lot stronger, honestly. Yeah. But that's, so yeah, I was really happy with it at the start. I was like, oh, this is the best one yet. Like, this is actually good.
Yeah.
And then it really fell, like, I think I would have been comfortable calling this, like, the best Happy Madison production in probably, like, a decade if it hadn't ended like that.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I forgot, Click came out a while ago.
Yeah, that was, like, 2005. Yeah, like, since 2010, true. I think this is almost the best one. Yeah,
they've all been pretty bad since.
Oh, God, they've been bad for a while. Because 2010 was Grown Ups 1 or 2.
So you'd go, I guess Grown Ups 1, yeah.
Yeah, like, so...
Jack and Jill.
Close to greatness. We were so close, Adam.
It was reaching for something, and then it just fell on its face.
I think this is a good sign, ultimately. I think the cast was really cool. I liked all the cameos. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of cameos, more than we just mentioned here.
Yeah.
The cast was really solid. It was shot decently well and lit well, like, better than some of his other
stuff.
There were
some good... Yeah, there were no problems, really.
No, like, production-wise, it was solid. Story-wise, it was a lot better than a lot of the other ones in terms of pacing. Yeah.
Well, you can tell they're getting more money, right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money to make these, like, mediocre.
I mean, if they do well, who can blame them?
Yeah, yeah.
But this movie didn't have what a lot of recent films have had, which we'll probably get to in a future episode. This thing I like to call the Sandler Zone, where the second act is about an hour and a half, and halfway through, you don't, like, you disassociate from yourself completely.
you just, the soul inside of you dies.
Yeah, you become sick numb. Of it.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen in this one. So it had a pretty good, it was pretty good pacing wise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So overall, I'd give it, like, I don't know, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, like, in terms of a Sandler movie, this was like an 8.
Yes, absolutely.
So
on the Sandler scale,
if you want something to watch this Halloween, like, I wouldn't not recommend it.
I'd say there are definitely better options.
Halloween wise, there's not a lot of Halloween movies.
What are you talking about? Horror movies? It's like whole genre.
I meant specifically Halloween themed. I forgot that scary movies exist for a second.
I forgot Whoops. That earlier. To be fair,
but... yeah, probably watch like Friday the 13th or something.
Yeah, or Halloween.
Yeah, literally anything, but. If you like Adam Sandler, I'm sure you'll love
this. This is the best Adam Sandler Halloween movie yet.
In terms of movies we've watched for this podcast, I would put this one at the top of
this
the one.
This is number one. Absolutely. This is number one.
And it is firmly at the top of my list.
Yeah, this is...
It is in first position.
We'll see. Only time will tell if something's better than this.
Depends on what we get next.
Yeah.
Good job, Adam. This was great, Sandman. All right.
Keep up the good work, yeah.
Let's add another little music cue for trivia. Just like 5 notes on it.
Okay, play the...
Trivia. Like that.
Yeah, we'll use that.
Don't use that.
Play the cue.
Trivia. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some trivia of the movie. Oh, no! You know what we have to do first?
What?
Call the phone number.
Oh, shoot, you're right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is a Sandler Files exclusive.
This is... So, in the film, right... There's the, we mentioned it earlier, there's the killer's phone number that they're tracking in the movie, near the end of the third act, right? And they read it out.
They show it multiple times on screen, they make it very clear.
So, what I'm wondering is, did they set up like a recorded message or something on this number?
They have.
Will this be a real number?
We're going to do this live.
I'm going to call it right now.
Live from a shed in Oakville, Ontario. You are hearing a phone... Well, not live. I guess this is recorded. But
recorded.
Are we going to cut this?
It was live right now.
Are we going to cut this if nothing happens or no?
Let's
keep it in.
Yeah,
we'll keep it in.
Do it. Screw it.
Please stay on the line. Your call is completed. Long distance charges may apply.
Uh-oh.
Don't care.
Hold it up to the mic.
It's on speaker. It should be good. Somebody picked up.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is there anyone there?
Hello? just kidding. I'm not at the phone right now. I'm Rob Schneider. You might know me. I'm friends with Adam Sandler, actually. I'm friends with Kevin James. I've worked with Steve Buscemi and Al Pacino and all them. If you'd like to stay on the line, I am going to record for the next few hours or so my stances on vaccination mask policies and general politics in today's climate.
Max, please.
The button's not working.
Oh, my God.
Hang up, button's not working. What the heck?
Hang up the phone right now. I do not want to hear this.
I can't hang up.
So let's do some trivia.
Yes.
This movie is directed by Stephen Brill, who is a frequent Sandman collaborator.
Some of the best.
All the best Sandler movies. He directed Little Nicky, which is terrible. Mr. Deeds, I haven't seen it. The Do-Over, actually awful.
That is terrible.
Sandy Wexler, which, wow, not good.
I died and was reborn during watching that film.
Yeah, I definitely went into a little cocoon of pain. Mm-hmm. And now he's directed Hubie Halloween, which, step up for him. Good job, Stephen Brill. You actually had some dynamic camera angles. I was impressed.
And then you lost him.
That's not... The Rat's the writer, though.
Oh, that's true.
So this was written by Tim...
You know what? Yeah, you know what? That was good for him, then.
Yeah.
That's much better than his other
That's his best one.
Yeah.
Stephen Brill, a tip of the hat to you, my good sir.
Come on the podcast.
We want to talk to you. And then the writer is Tim Herlihy. He's written a ton of Sandler stuff and some of the classics. Mm-hmm. He wrote Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, which are all great. The Waterboy, which is decent. Big Daddy, Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds, Bedtime Stories, Grown Ups 2, Pixels, The Ridiculous Six, and now Hubie Halloween.
God.
So he, no offense, Mr. Herlihy, he has been getting worse as time goes on.
I feel he...
But this
he
was
hit
a...
it out. He hit it out of the park with those first few.
Yeah.
And then Adam Sandler's like, well, we can't get rid of him now. He did Billy Madison.
But he did, and now he's back up. I feel Hubie Halloween is not quite his early. That's
this
like Mr.
Not,
Deeds
this
level.
This is not Billy Madison.
It's like Bedtime Stories, Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of.
It's not Pixels and the Ridiculous
not,
Six.
Yeah, it's not at the worst.
You're getting better, Hurley. That's very true. And I'm proud of you for it.
Congratulations.
My final bit of trivia before Max's super exciting movie detail scoop.
Yes.
Is that someone got fired because they appeared in this movie. There's this brief scene, and it's like a silly little bit where there's a bunch of Boston news anchors, and they're all dressed as Harley Quinn is the joke because that's a popular Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. And one of the news anchors is like an actual Boston news anchor, and she got fired for cameoing in the movie because like part of her contract said she couldn't appear as herself.
Yeah, that's
as
ridiculous.
As part of the station. Insane. Justice for What's-Her-Face, I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get it trending.
Let's get that on some shirts.
Because that's kind of ridiculous. Honestly, like, why? She just played herself. There was nothing, like, offensive about the cameo.
No, it's just, like, an in-universe news report.
Why would you fire someone about that?
That's really weird.
And her statement about it was, like, really respectful to her employers, which is, like, insane to me. Like, I would have been really mad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a ridiculous reason to fire someone. Do you have some trivia for us, Max?
Yes, I got some little Adam Sandler goodies, little golden nuggets. So first off, we have another reference to classic Sandler in this movie.
Wow, this is really a who's who of
yes,
Happy Madison
absolutely.
Productions.
So Steve Buscemi,
yeah,
who did appear in Billy Madison, of course.
Did he?
He did.
Okay, there's I've seen that scene, movie since I was like 8.
There is this scene where there's like an ELO song playing and Adam Sandler's on the phone.
Of course, you remember this scene.
So, no, this is a classic scene, all right?
Okay.
It's Adam Sandler's on the phone and he like apologizes to his old friend, Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Right? And then he's like, oh yeah, it's okay, man. You're all good. He hangs up and then Steve Buscemi crosses Adam Sandler's name off of a list of people to kill and starts carving a knife or something. Like, that's the bit that he's a killer. Okay. So that's a good joke, all right?
What does that have to do with this movie?
Steve Buscemi's character in this film is wearing the exact same clothes.
Oh my god.
This
that
is
just,
no,
that doesn't
the
mean
Danny,
anything.
Listen, it's on a cinemablend.com article here. The Danny McGrath costume.
Oh wow.
Which see People to Kill list there. That's a little reference right there. He's wearing the same wardrobe.
I think probably Steve Buscemi just shows up in his own clothes. It's like, hey,
no.
Film my scene.
He's wearing the same clothes from like late 90s. Nonsense.
Okay, it's true. Steve Buscemi is a fashion god. He wouldn't be
absolutely
seen wearing
absolutely.
The same outfit twice. He wouldn't be caught dead.
He cares about his image.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
interesting. All right. Let's see. So, you of course know about the double V.
What
trivia?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
The
yeah,
double
yeah,
V.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, what?
In a majority of not majority in a lot of Adam Sandler movies,
especially the early ones, right?
Yeah, early ones. His love interest always have the initials VV. So, for example, in Billy Madison, Veronica Vaughn.
Who, fun fact, is played by the same, by Julie Bowen. Or no, that's Happy Gilmore, sorry. Never mind.
Happy Gilmore, Virginia Bennett.
Virginia Bennett?
Venny?
Whatever. That's Julie Bowen. So this is the second Adam Sandler, Julie Bowen, They in Love movie.
Right, right.
So, you know, he's bringing back his old cohort.
That's true. Vicky Valancourt in The Waterboy. Valerie Varin in Little Nicky. Violet Van Pattern in Pixels.
I don't remember the Little Nicky one. That's weird.
No, yeah, I don't remember that character, actually.
There's a love interest in that movie?
Did I black out watching that? Anyways, and finally, in Hubie Halloween, we have Violet Valentine.
Excellent.
Bringing back the double Vs.
I'm glad he did that. That's what the fans have been clamoring for.
I think so, absolutely. This is what's bringing its films back. Final little golden nugget.
Oh, okay. I almost had a really good segue and you ruined it, but that's okay. I'll find a new way around to it.
Most of Adam Sandler's character names in all of his movies, their name ends with E.
So, oh my god! It's
Hubie, you have Billy, Happy, Sonny, Bobby, Nikki, Danny, Sandy, Tommy. In Uncut Gems, it's Howie.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
I don't know, but this was just in the comments of an article here.
I never realized. Sorry, that's pretty good. That interesting, but it's blowing my mind.
No, he has a bunch of weird little.
I want you to know, I keep accidentally peeking my mic because I'm freaked out about facts you're telling me. So we'll fix it.
It'll be good. It'll be well. And then Barry and Punch Drunk Love.
Wow. Speaking of Punch Drunk Love. Speaking of love, a lot of people loved this movie.
That was incredible. Thank you.
I found that was my really good segue.
That was fantastic.
I found some reviews online of this movie, and you may be thinking, but Jeremy, I've checked Rotten Tomatoes, I've checked IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
The people aren't very positive on this movie. It has like a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nowadays, you can't trust these critics.
You can't trust Rotten Tomatoes, guys.
Yeah.
It's all paid off by, you know, big pharma.
Warner Brothers, yeah.
So, I found the source of true cinema reviews, which, as we all know, is Google Reviews.
Yes.
People who review on their Google Plus account movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found some just like fantastic reviews that I want to read. Roger Ebert level criticism.
Yeah, I think so. We need to get in contact with this guy, I think, because this is...
Yeah, this was my favorite one, but I'll read a few. Yeah. He says, I love this movie. I'm a young filmmaker taking video and media broadcast at high school. I don't want to say the name of the high school. He didn't actually use bad grammar. I just don't want to dox this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love movies in genera. What I really love, by the way, spelled general with a J and didn't add the L on the end. What I really love about this movie are the camera angels. I also laugh a lot during this movie. I think that it was an amazing story and an amazing story put on the big screen, which it wasn't on the big screen. It was definitely the original. I'm also a big fan of Adam.
No, you gotta keep going. This is
no, dude.
Why are you laughing? Adam, why?
He spelled Adam Sandler wrong, like, so bad.
Just read it how he spells it. Just read it how he spells it.
I am also a big fan of Adam Sandler's What Worked. Everything.
Everything worked. No, we need to finish this. Sorry.
The fast jokes were really good. Adam Sandler. I'm so sorry. Adam Sandler playing Hubie was really good. The lighting and the music were on point, and I love the mystery concept. What did not work? I cannot. I cannot say anything. This movie was bad. Oh my god, I'm crying. Which, like, I'm not trying to make fun of this person. I think it's really good that they like the movie. It's just the spelling mistakes are really getting me.
That's a great review. I really want that framed.
I love that anyone would love this movie. It's just, like, you can't say there's anything bad about it.
It's
like, nothing.
It says it's literally the perfect movie.
And so that was a really good review. So I think if you go off that review, I'm not going to read anymore because I don't think I could top that one. Oh, no, my god, I'm crying. Good. Yeah, I think that says everything that needs to be said about this movie and whether or not you should check it out and watch
it. Yeah, don't listen to us. Listen to that. That's got passion, right?
I wish I took away that much from this movie.
I wish I could enjoy it that much.
I wish I wasn't a cynical film student
who hated everything. I think, yeah.
Honestly, and I'm not even trying to be facetious here. It might sound like we're being sarcastic. I wish I could enjoy that movie
much. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because who doesn't want to love movies like that?
Yeah.
So shout out to that guy, and I'm really happy he liked the movie this much.
Thank you so much for your review.
Maybe you spell check next time, but outside of that, really solid. I don't have much more to say on Hubie Halloween, but I do have more to say on film in general, because I love hearing myself talk.
I just love movies.
But because we've talked a lot about The Sandman so far, we're gonna do a quick little segue into another segment we like to call Sandler Play the Music.
Look.
All right. So what have we been watching, Max, outside of Adam Sandler's Hubie Halloween?
We've been watching a lot recently, actually. Mm-hmm. We've been viewing some cinema.
It's true. We watched Clerks.
Clerks.
Kevin yes. Smith, one of my favorite filmmakers. Yep. I made Max yep. watch it.
Very lo-fi movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
I did too. The acting wasn't great, but it's just like a fun little movie. Yeah. Do not watch it with your parents. That's it's a little
it's a bit mature.
Yeah. But it's very good. I also forced you to watch like the first half of the first season of Cobra Kai in like one sitting.
No, I was into it. All right.
It's a great show. I highly recommend it.
It's solid, yeah.
I was a Jaden Smith Karate Kid stan before I watched that show, mm-hmm. and then I caught up on all the old ones.
And for those who don't know, Cobra Kai is a follow-up to the original Karate Kid movie.
The ones from the 80s. And yeah. it's fantastic. Like, I really like it. It's super cheesy, but it's, like, really enjoyable.
It's very cheesy, but, like, very well done. You can just...
You just get into it, weirdly. Even though it's... Yeah. Like, you can recognize the cheese and still love it, which
There's some good drama in there.
Yeah, yeah, which I really loved. The other... Ooh! You know what we need to talk about?
What?
Immortal Demon Slayer. Legend of the Monkey King. Oh my god!
Yeah, do we have the box over here?
Yeah. Let me get you want to grab it? Yeah, okay, Max is grabbing the box. Immortal Demon Slayer... Sorry, that's a little bit of a pillow noise. Immortal Demon Slayer, Legend of the Monkey King, is perhaps the greatest movie ever made.
This was incredible.
We bought it for $3 at the dollar store.
It was at Dollarama in the movie section. For those of you who don't know, there is a movie section at Dollarama.
It's where all the best movies are.
Yeah. This was fantastic.
It's like, imagine Lord of the Rings, but without all the dumb character development. You don't need it. This is about a guy who used to be a monkey, who becomes a monkey again at one point. And he's a god, kind of. And he and some other gods get sent down to Earth, and then they fight their way back up to heaven and dismantle the apparatus that controls destiny.
Yeah, it's structured kind of like... Not structured. It's like in style to, like, Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Like the Avengers.
It feels like an Avengers movie.
Yeah, but it's focused on, like, ancient gods and, like, the story of the monkey
and Chinese mythology.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Highly, highly recommend. Not even facetiously. We had a ton of fun watching it.
No?
And
can we discuss spoilers?
No, let's not.
Okay.
But, like,
there's some big spoilers for this movie.
Exactly. Like, yeah. The end, I was like... That was really good. I don't want to spoil it.
It drags a little bit.
In the middle, yeah.
In the middle.
But just put it on 2x speed like we did and it'll fly by.
Yeah, and we've got to see more stuff by this production company.
Yeah, they made another movie. But I do want to say also the effects in this movie are like fantastic for no reason.
It is. They had a huge budget for this.
Yeah, the effects don't deserve to look as good as they do, but I was like really into it. We watched another movie from the same production company called Kung Fu Traveler 2. Do not recommend.
I love Kung Fu Traveler 2.
Hard do not recommend.
95% of this movie is complete garbage. It's absolutely...
There's like one shot that Max loves.
No, there's a few scenes that are just so funny, that are so good.
Kung Fu Traveler 2 is about a man who is fighting a robot, actually, who's fighting an alien invasion in the future and decides to go back in time to 1800s China to discover... a certain type of kung fu, north leg kung fu.
They call it, the northern leg.
Yeah, and it's like basically only kicking with one leg kung fu. And he's a robot, and he takes that knowledge and he uploads it to the future so that they can fight the aliens, because they can only fight them if they learn this one type of kung fu. It's terrible. I hated it.
It's a horrible movie. There's a few, just the action scenes.
No.
Like the... What are you talking about? Do you not remember the one scene? They rip off The Matrix a lot with, like, the bullet time stuff.
Yep.
And then there's one scene where, like, the dictator guy or whatever shoots a cannonball at our main robot character.
Yeah.
He jumps up to kick it. His foot hits it, and he just explodes.
Yeah, but it's like a rocket jump. Like, he jumps. You just don't see him jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's implied that he jumps.
It's just so good.
No.
He just blows up instantly the second he touches this cannonball.
I do not recommend watching this movie. It is way too long. The main character's name is Tiger Chen.
Yeah.
And he's a robot. And that tells you about all you need to know.
And he's played by Tiger Chen.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Is that it? That's so weird. That's weird. Anyways.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Don't recommend that one. Outside of that, we haven't been watching much, and there hasn't honestly been much news going on in, like, the world of TV.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but the world is shut down.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a stand. Some productions have gone back on. Batman's shooting again. Mm-hmm. That Rock superhero movie Black Adam's going to shoot soon. There's a few movies in production, but a lot of stuff just isn't coming out right now, and there's no trailers or news that we can talk about.
It's not exciting. No.
Well, like, everything's delayed. All we could say is, like, oh, Bond got delayed, this got delayed, that got delayed. I think the only thing coming out soon is Mandalorian Season 2 and WandaVision, which is, like, TV. Right. That's, like, fine. Whatever. I'm not super invested about that. But if you are a Marvel or Star Wars fan, that's some stuff to look forward to.
We saw Tenet.
I don't want to talk about Tenet. I didn't like Tenet. I slept through the middle hour. Oh, that's
right. I forgot you slept through that.
Yeah,
it was whatever.
Tenet. I mean, I'm not a huge Nolan fanboy anyways.
The effects are cool. That's the best part.
I don't remember because I was asleep.
Right.
Also, the main character's name is the protagonist, which is like the worst thing I've ever heard.
That's so... Yeah.
It's just... No.
Just come on.
But I think that's everything. That's a catch up a little bit on movie news.
Yeah.
Real quick, future of Adam Sandler. He has another Netflix movie coming probably at some point. He normally does like one a year, right? And I don't know if I think they might delay them because of the pandemic.
I think so. It's been a while since the last one.
Hubie Halloween was shot in 2019.
Right.
It was shot last September. That's when it finished. So, I know, like, Murder Mystery 2 he's supposed to make, which is a sequel to Murder Mystery. Right. But I don't know.
Hotel Transylvania 4 is also a thing.
Right. So those are upcoming Sandler movies, but it's obviously kind of up in the air when those are coming out.
He has also said in
Sandler... This is not real.
Not the crossover.
Oh, okay.
No.
We'll talk about that, I guess.
Yeah, we'll mention that. But he has said, before Uncut Gems came out, he was like, if this doesn't get nominated for an Academy Award... I will make a purposely bad movie.
Which, what would that even look like?
I don't know.
I'm so scared.
But it didn't get nominated, so...
And people are saying Hubie Halloween is that movie. It is not. That was filmed before those Academy Awards came out, the nomination. So that's... Is that his next one,
probably? Might be his next one. Might be the one after.
Yeah, and he's also joked about potentially making a movie that combines all his different famous characters.
Which I would love. We see a little bit of this with Ben Stiller in Hubie Halloween. What are you talking about? You don't want it.
I think it would kill me. Can you imagine Jack and Jill meeting like little Nicky? That would be the worst thing. Oh, I can't wait till we talk about Jack and Jill. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of, it's time for us. That I think we've talked about everything we can talk about.
Yeah, yeah. That's Sandler.
So and back to Sandler. So let's we're gonna spin. What we do here is we have a digital wheel that we've created with every Adam Sandler media and some others sprinkled in that were made by friends of his on a big wheel. We're gonna spin it. Yep. Live for you here to see what our next movie is.
That's right.
Hopefully this goes better than the the phone call. So I'm going to spin it, and let's see what happens.
The wheel.
The Mayorowitz stories.
Oh!
Okay, that one's serious. This so is next serious week, next week is probably going to be a short episode because we don't have as much to talk about when they're serious dramas.
Yeah.
But we are going to be watching The Mayorowitz Stories, which is also a Netflix original. So if you want to watch it to keep up with and you have a Netflix account, you can do that.
Yeah. This is apparently a good movie.
It's actually a drama. He's doing serious character work. So that's going to be what we're going to talk about next week. Hopefully we have something to say about it. It is going to be a little more serious, so we're probably not going to be able to make fun of it as much. But that's fine. Hopefully there'll be some good Google reviews waiting for us about the movie. If you want to, I guess we can just plug stuff now. If you want to reach out to us, we are at The Sandler Files on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us Sandler-related movie facts or, you know, just
talk to us, yeah, please.
We sit in our homes all day and do online classes.
Look at what we're doing.
Yeah,
look at what we're doing for fun.
Yeah, so tweet us there if you want to talk to us. I guess I'll plug my Instagram because why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm at jconte1 on Instagram.
I don't know my Instagram username.
You're MaxTrax2001.
Okay, yeah.
He's MaxTrax2001.
Yep.
On Instagram.
Go follow me.
Go hit us with the follows.
Don't follow Jeremy.
Don't follow me. Only follow Max.
Yep.
Break my heart. That's. I think that's everything, right?
Yeah. Right.
All right. So, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of The Sandler Files. I have been Jeremy Conte.
And I'm Max Dreesen.
And we will see you guys next week when we watch The Mayorowitz Stories.
Woo!
See you then.
Bye-bye.